Hi, everybody. I want to say thank you so much for watching Rock Solid Faith. We know that it's going to challenge your life. Tonight is one of my favorites. Of course, I say that every week, but it's one of my favorites because we're getting into spiritual warfare, and so many believers do not understand the spiritual world. Again, what you don't see is more real than what you do see. And it's important that we really let this sink into the fabric of who we are, because we live far more by sight than we do by faith. The Bible says walk by faith and not by sight. But most of us actually live far more by sight than we do by faith. We trust more what we can see, touch, feel with our five senses than we do by what we can't see, but yet what is more real, and that is the supernatural. The church world is extracting the supernatural, and the world is running after the supernatural. So there's a need for us to have our education, not only to be able to move in the spirit, but also so that you won't be confused. And again, to know your authority in Jesus Christ. The authority you have in Christ, we finished that chapter last week, is imperative for you to get into your spirit. Without understanding your authority, the devil can whoop on you, even though he's whooped. He's already defeated, but he'll defeat you if you don't stay in your authority. So I want to talk about this tonight, about the supernatural realm. Some of these verses we already covered a little bit. I'm just going to touch them real fast. I'm going to go right into the main players of the spirit world. Now, there's a large confusion, and there's a large amount of falsity, even in Christianity. There is only two main people in the spiritual world. Just two. There's only two places that the power comes from. It actually originated from one. So God is the main player. The other main player is Lucifer or Satan, the same name. These are the two main players in the spirit world. Now, in that, God has angels and Satan has demons. So knowing who they are and what they do is going to be very important. So we're going to break that down now. I want to break down to you principles of who is God and his power. But also, I want to spend a little extra time, because we've already covered this in chapter 1. And if you did not cover this in chapter 1, make sure you stay until you cover chapter 1, about who is God. Because there's a necessity for you not only to know who is God, but to understand your opponent. Now, we don't focus. In fact, I was just talking to someone the other day. They sent me a note. They said, I'm studying Satanism because I want to know what it's all about. And I said, because I knew her spiritual condition, that probably isn't wise. You're supposed to focus on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith, not Lucifer. But yet, the Bible says don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. If you don't know who he is, then how are you going to be able to identify what he does? I want to remind you, who he is causes what he does. So understanding who he is helps you identify. Somebody said to me once, well, I went to a seance and God brought up my sister and I spoke to my sister at the seance. Well, here's the problem. That person did not know the difference between God and Satan. That person did not know the difference between demonic and supernatural dealing with God. So because of that, they were actually lulled into a belief system that God, big G, was the one at the seance, when it was actually God, small g, at the seance. So I want to make sure that we have a clear understanding of God and Satan. Now, one of the things that I kind of grew up with in an understanding was that God and Satan were in a battle. And in this battle, it is a raging warfare. And God is fighting Satan. And I want you to realize right off the bat, that is a lie. There is no battle between God and Satan. But isn't there a battle between good and evil? No. What? See, this is the problem with believers. We've not been taught properly. So what happens is we actually believe almost that Satan has as much power as God, and that there's a big fight in the angelic world, and things are happening, and God is fighting Satan. And it almost, you know, looks like they meet in the middle, and there's an explosion. See the leg when I did that? Explosion! It was really good. It would be. It's true. But that's not what's happening at all. There is no warfare between God and Satan. Satan was no more than an angelic being. We covered that a few weeks ago. Who is Satan? Satan was simply this. He is a fallen, if I say fallen, angel. He is not God. He is not a God. He is not as powerful as God. In fact, I love what Jesus said. I cast out demons by the finger of God. It's like, whatever. You know, so there's a need for us to get that in our spirit. Satan is already defeated. There is no warfare. Jesus is not fighting him. God is not fighting him. Satan is lost. There is no competition. It's almost like we picture it in our heads that they're competing to win. There's no competition. God the Creator gave Lucifer the power in the first place, and when he was cast down, he remained in some of his authority and power. But his constant is always trying to counterfeit. So I want to make sure that you understand that according to Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, Jesus, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphant over them in it, which shows this. There is no battle. There is no warfare. Jesus overcame the devil, embarrassed them publicly, and took away their power. Got anything in your pockets? You left my ribs. So, you're good. How you feeling? He did the sample barbecue challenge, of that eating challenge, the food challenge. God bless him. So, it's important that we know this. Now, who is God? Let's just touch this real quick. We know that God is a spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He is the king, even over the spiritual realm. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 15 and 16, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and the only potentate, which means the highest level, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. It's important that we see God for who he is. He is the master. He is the owner. He is the creator. He is the victor. There is no competition or close measurement between Satan and God. Say amen. Amen. That just made me feel good. Thank you very much. Okay, let's talk about angels. Angels, which are the ones that serve under God. Now, it's important. There was a cult going around probably about a decade or so ago that everybody had a guardian angel. And people were talking to their guardian angels. I want you to know that you don't have a guardian angel. I want you to know you have at least four angels. Now, I did know somebody who named them Thor. Someone named them Thor. Thundar, he named all four of them. I don't know, he's kind of just joking thing. But everybody has at least four angels. His angels encamp around those who love him. So we know there are at least four angels. So there's this cult. What's happened is when this cult came in, they were actually buying little angel trinkets, and they were talking to the angels. And I want you to recognize that the angels will talk back to you. The angels will manifest to you. The angels will come into your presence. The problem is, it's not God's angels, it's the devil's angels. So let's distinguish who God and what God's angels do. Number one, some are made for worship. Isaiah chapter 6, 2 and 3. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings, which were covered his face, and two covered his feet. With two he flew. One cried to another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Some angels are used for war. 2 Kings chapter 6, 16 and 17. And he answered, Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man who was Gehazi, and he saw in the spirit realm. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when even people come against you, you need to know that there are warring angels. And that's the exciting part. You never have to worry about being alone. You know, there are many stories of missionaries. I'll just give you one that's right on the top of my head, where these missionaries were in a place where there were headhunters. And the headhunting village snatched them. And they were getting ready to decapitate the mother and the father. And I think they were keeping the girls as their slaves. And so as they're getting ready to decapitate, all of a sudden this whole band this was in Africa, warriors looked, they said they looked up, and when they looked up, fear came across their face and they ran away. And what it was later, a missionary had gone into that village, very brave missionary, gone into the village, preached Jesus, and they got saved. They told the story. And the story was, when they were just getting ready to decapitate, they were moving forward, and there's the missionary family, and behind the missionary family were 9-foot-tall men carrying swords with flames of fire coming off the top. Now I would run too. So angels can be angels of war. Some angels protect. Psalms 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. You know, pretty much every day, I've always prayed this over my family. Lord, I release the angels now to protect my family in Jesus' name. Why do I do that? Because there are forces trying to kill our family members. Forces trying to kill people of destiny. Why? Because if they can kill a person of destiny, then it destroys other people's as well. So it's a necessity to recognize that you need to release the angels every single day to surround and protect your family. Also, we know that some do ministry for the saints. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, and are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Now, the very first time that I really had a great understanding of this, I was at an evangelistic meeting, and there was a man, the evangelist that was there, and he was talking to me. He says, I want to teach you something. Now, the joy had been really flowing. That was in Big Flats. The joy had been really flowing, and people were laughing in the spirit. And it was probably that way for 45 minutes to an hour. And I'm walking with him, and he goes, now watch. And he's whispering this to me, so absolutely no one's hearing. He's saying, watch, there's a shift in the spirit about to come. And all of a sudden, within 3 minutes, boom, nobody was laughing. Everybody got this deep, you could feel the heavy blanket of the Holy Spirit come upon the whole congregation. It was just a thick, thick presence of God. And all of a sudden, everybody just got quiet. You could hear a pin drop in the room. And he whispered to me, and he says, now watch, I'm going to release the angels, and you're going to actually hear them leave the room. And he did it. And you could literally hear them shuffle in the spirit realm. Really stinking cool. Angels will work on your behalf. And it's not that you're praying to angels, you're actually commanding angels. And that's the cool part about being powerful in the name of Jesus. You know, when if the church is needing finances at times, I'll release angels to go bring in finances. I'll release angels to go work on behalf of a saint. We know that angels do this. How do we know this? Remember when Elijah was trying to, was embattled Jezebel, and he got afraid of her. And so what did he do? He went and ran and hid under a tree. And he got depressed, and he said, God, just kill me. You know, some of you have been through that. You know, your wife tried to kill you, and, you know, we can just move on.
Thank you, Jay. And so here we are all of a sudden. You know, he's under this tree. And what does the Lord do? The Lord sent an angel to feed him. Angels will work on behalf of the saints. In fact, the Bible says that some of us have entertained angels unaware. What does that mean? An angel can take on the form of a human, and some of us have had encounters with angels that you didn't even know there were angels. That's why hospitality is very important. I've only had one angel experience, and I was in high school. I was a senior, and I was making a decision. Was I going to go to Bible school, or was I going to go to another adventure? And my father and I were painting the Phillipston Memorial School. Now, the Phillipston Memorial School is only one story. I went to a small school. One-story school, and I was in the first grade room, Mrs. Anderson's room, painting the inside of the window, and my father was outside painting the outside of the window. And my dad ran out of paint, and he said, listen, I'm running to Athol. I'm going to go to Sherwin-Williams and go buy another gallon, and I'll be back. So he jumps in his vehicle, and he drives off. Now, there was a kid from California visiting his parents two or three doors down. His name was Tony. You remember Tony? His name was Tony. Now, Tony was not brought up Christian, was not a believer in any way, shape, or form. But Tony was out in the swing set area, you know, just hanging out, kind of kicking around. Well, I'm on the inside of the window painting, and a man comes, and he's a believer or anything like that. So we just started talking a little bit about kids, and, you know, he's talking about, you know, his kid and about how he disciplines his child, and he's 17 years old, and, you know, he's having a little challenge with him, but he's called to be his dad and not his friend. And I'm going, see, I know who this guy is. I says, you're a believer, aren't you? He goes, yeah, how'd you know? It's like, duh. But in my spirit, I knew before he ever opened his mouth. Because you can feel that. If you've ever had a server come up to you, and you just know that they're born again, you don't know why. Have you ever had somebody walk up that was demon-possessed? Me too, man. I was at Bible school one day, and this girl walked up. And the moment she walked up, she introduced herself. The hair went up on the back of my head. That afternoon, my roommate cast 7 devils out of her. You can tell what spirit somebody is of. And then the last layer or the last level of discerning of spirits is the ability to actually see in the spirit realm. Very few people have this layer because you literally are seeing. Now, you know, we look around here and we see people. We see hair, we see eyes, we see shirts, we see chairs, we see flags. We see all that. But I want you to understand that in the spirit realm, there's far more activity in this room than you could ever even fathom or imagine. Well, why is that? Because what you don't see is more real than what you do see. The verse is found in Corinthians, don't look at the things which you can see, for they're temporary. But look at the things which you cannot see, for they are eternal. What's happening in the spirit realm is far more real than what's happening in the natural realm. And so in this room, we know there are angels. In this room, I don't believe there are demons because we bind them before the services. They have the right to sit up at the end of the road. So let me tell you how I pray on Sunday mornings. Lord, no demons in the house. Check them at the front door. And I'm not talking this front door. I'm talking at the end of the driveway. So you've got to remember that you have all authority over the works of the devil. We already covered that last week when we started talking about divine authority. And in that, every demon has to stay at the end of that driveway. Now, when that person comes down, they're free. They have the ability to hear and move and so on and so forth. But when they leave, if they allow that demon to come back on them, that spirit has a right to come back onto them. But in this place, they're not allowed. Why? Because it's God's house. Amen? It's God's property. It's God's grass. They don't have a right to be even hanging on the grass. I don't like them on the grass anyways, you know what I mean? So in this, it's important that we recognize you. Angels will never draw attention to themselves. Now, I was saying that to say this. I had a roommate, a man who was in the room next to me at Bible school, who was actually a Catholic priest. He went to a monastery, and when he went to the monastery, the first thing he said, this just telling you what he taught me. First thing they did when he walked into the monastery is they divvied him out whose turn it was. And so he went and became the wife of one of the other priests for his years there. And then they were teaching him transcendental meditation, out-of-body experiences, astral projection. They were teaching him all these spiritual things that are very, very powerful and real. A lot of Christians are ignorant. They don't believe that astral projection actually works. That is crazy. All of these supernatural experiences are very real because demons are very real and the spirit world is very real. Lester Sumrall was in the Philippines and he had a situation where the government actually called him to help because there was a woman in the jail that was actually being bitten at night by demons. She would have teeth marks on her, all over her. And one day, when they all freaked out, except for Lester Sumrall, they were all standing there, and while she was standing in front of them, she started screaming, "He's biting me, he's biting me," and they literally watched as the teeth marks came onto her flesh. And Lester Sumrall cast out that spirit that day. There was another little boy, he was 5 years old, and he started talking to his imaginary friend. Well, his imaginary friend wasn't imaginary. His imaginary friend was literally a demon spirit, and they called him the disappearing boy because he'd be sitting in the middle of his classroom, and the little demon would say, "Let's go play," and the little boy would disappear from his chair. One day he was at church, very much unhappy to be there, and while he was walking down, Lester Sumrall was preaching, and he cast that spirit out of the boy, and the boy was free from that day forward. These things are very real. Now, we deal with this on a constant basis. We have people in this church constantly coming up, somebody coming up and saying, can the prayer team come and clean my house? And you say, well, what's going on? Well, things are moving. You know, lights are coming on. I hear voices. I hear footsteps. I was telling you about the Christian camp that's just up the road. I mean, there's a Christian camp up the road. We had what is his name? Jason Baer. Jason Baer, who is an international Christian artist, was staying there with one of his band members. And as they were in the room, and the rooms there are like hotel rooms, and the doors are like hotel room doors that you got to hold the handle down, and you know, when you open it, it has that automatic spring, and it shuts just like in a regular hotel room. So they're in bed. You know, he's in his, and he's in his, double beds. And all of a sudden, they hear somebody running down the hallway, a little girl running down the hallway, screaming and laughing. And then the door opened, and they could see the silhouette of the spirit. And that door didn't close. The door stayed open. The next day, because they're freaked out, by the way, they're from a Baptist background, didn't believe in casting out demons. It was really kind of funny when he was talking to me about it because I was just chuckling. The next day, they asked the cleaning crew, because there's like maids that go through, have you ever seen that little girl? Oh, you saw her? Almost like, wow, isn't that cool? That's not cool. That's not a little girl. That's called a familiar spirit. That's a demon taken on the likeness of a human to try to get you to like them or to lower your guard with them. You've actually heard people say, well, my grandfather visited me after he died. That wasn't Grampy. That was a demon spirit taking on the likeness of your relative. When a person dies and they are born again, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They're not hanging on the planet. When somebody dies and is not saved, they go to hell. You do not step out of hell. How do we know that? Well, we know that through through Jesus telling the example of the rich man and the poor man that was in Abraham's bosom, and the rich man was in hell. You're not leaving. And so when we see these, what they call poltergeists or family members or people, spirits walking the planet, those aren't spirits walking the planet. Those are actually demon spirits that are taking on the likeness of people. And whenever anybody visits your room, you need to tell them to leave. That's right, because they have no right to be there. So we talked about the authority in the name of Jesus. They recognize the name of Jesus. It's not a game, not a joke. We had a woman in the church. She was an older woman. Her husband had died. He had been married many years. And she so desperately wanted to have him back in her life that she actually asked him to come. And he appeared. And every night they'd have 4 or 5 hour conversations. And her daughters, and she was well trained too. But she so loved to have that experience. She loved that more than the word of God. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. Lord bless him. Jesus. Oh. I just want to take all temptation away from individuals. So she was actually talking. The daughters actually went in and cast that demon out of the house. But that night, the woman went back to the house and said, I don't care whether it's a demon or not. It looks like my husband, sounds like my husband, and it makes me feel good. And asked the demon to come back into their life. So it's important to recognize that angels will never draw attention to themselves. That guy who was with that Catholic, he actually gave himself to Jesus Christ, left the monastery, and came to Bible school. And one day he was in service, and he said, three angels, beautiful. He said, they're absolutely opulent angels, just came out into the middle of the sanctuary. He said, they were showing themselves how beautiful they were. And the Lord said to him, test the spirits. And he said, what spirit are you of? And immediately the beauty trickled off, and they were three demons. And the Lord said, my angels will never draw attention to themselves, only draw attention to me. So angels will never draw worship. Angels are spirits and do not have a physical body, but can take on a body, a physical body, to do work for God. Genesis 19:1. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting at the gate of Sodom. Numbers 22:31. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes and saw an angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. Angels cannot reproduce. Very important. Yes.
I've got an angel question.
Yes.
About every other day you see in the picture, somebody says Joe Smith will say, died and God got another angel in heaven.
Right.
That's not correct.
That is not correct. And the statement was, somebody will die and somebody will say, God got another angel in heaven. That is not true. You and I are above the angels, according to Hebrews chapter 1. They have never tasted salvation. If that person went to heaven, just because you died don't mean you go to heaven. All dogs don't go to heaven. Amen. Only those who have confessed Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are going to heaven. So a lot of folks, and it's very hard doing funerals of people that you know don't go to heaven. But there are people that don't go to heaven. If they don't know Jesus, they don't go to heaven. Can I hear an amen? Period. And so, no, they do not become an angel. And God needs you more here than he needs you there anyways. Amen? So let's get into this a little bit more. Angels cannot reproduce. Mark chapter 12, verse 25. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. Now, I do want to say this, and again, you'll see me flip-flopping between angels of God and demon spirits. There are demon spirits that will have sexual intercourse with humans. It is part of satanic ritualism. They cannot impregnate, but it is ritualistic. And angels will have sex with people. All right, let's move on. Yeah. Angels do not die. Luke chapter 20, verse 36, nor can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. So God's angels have a specific job, and it's always to draw attention to the Lord and to work on behalf of the saints. God's angels are working for him and working for us so that we can do his work. That's why the body of Christ must be active in the working of Christ, because when we are, then we're going to be able to use all of heaven's utility to be able to accomplish heaven's purposes. Now, just like God has angels, Satan has angels. Satan, he is, like we said, one of the archangels. The three archangels were whom? Michael, who is what? The warring angel, very good. Gabriel, who is what? The messenger angel. And Lucifer, who was the worship in heaven. So these were the three archangels, and Satan decided that he wanted to make himself greater than God. We find this in Ezekiel, Isaiah. I'll just read the one in Isaiah. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I love what Jesus says in Luke 10, 18 through 20. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, that nothing by any means shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So Satan was one of God's premier angels in heaven. And what happened was he decided that he, through pride, was going to raise himself up above God. And God, who is the creator, said, come on now, let's just get a reality check down. And cast him down. Now, when he cast him down, something happened. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that one third of the stars of heaven went with him. One third of the angelic beings made a choice. This is the only time we see in scriptures that angels have ever had a choice. They had one shot. They either served God, stayed with God, or as one third did, they said, no, we want to serve our master Satan, and they followed him when he was cast down out of heaven. Now, understanding Satan is very important too. Satan can only counterfeit what God does. Very important. He is not a creator, but he will always counterfeit. Satan is not all-knowing. Amen. Which means he can't read your mind. He doesn't know your future. In fact, the only thing he knows is what you tell him. Some of you tell him way too much. Yeah, just like Facebook. Thank you very much. Isn't it true? Some of you tell the devil way too much. You know, when I don't feel good, I don't get up in the morning and go, boy, I just feel like crap. I don't tell the devil anything. I make a declaration of the word, for the truth always trumps facts. The word says, by his stripes I was healed. The word says that the healing power of Jesus Christ that dwells in me will drive out sickness and drive. You know, sample this barbecue on Old Ithaca Road. And, you know, you order some ribs. Oh, fall off the bone tonight, brother. You order some ribs. You eat good. You're all rib. And ma'am, I mean, you're just sitting there eating these things. Because they're so good. I mean, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? This rib is good. So, you're eating the ribs. Your fingers are greasy. Your goatee's catching a little bit of it. Yeah.
Oh, good. Your waitress, she brings, you know, seconds.
But it was delicious.
Oh, my God.
You get done. You're full. And the server comes over and she says, you know, that will be, how much is it?
$11.99.
That'll be $11.99. And you look and you say, what? You want me to pay for this? I thought Rich was buying. Rich is not even in the restaurant. I thought Rich was buying. No, you ate it. It's your bill. When you reject Jesus Christ, it's your bill. And that's the issue. Satan, what he does in his wisdom, I'd used any excuse I could get, let me tell you. He smells so good. When you realize how much he hates you, you realize he'll do anything to deceive you. Now, there's three ways the devil usually attacks your family. You ready? Three ways the devil attacks your life. The devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Here's your three ways. Here's the way you can know whether it's God or the devil. If your family gets attacked, it's the devil. If your family gets attacked, it's the devil. Why is it the devil when your family gets attacked? Because the Bible says that we are the family of God, that God is our Father, that Jesus is our elder brother, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the bride of Christ that will be married to Christ. The enemy despises the body of Christ. The enemy despises the family of God. He despises it. So what he'll do is, and let's be real, we've seen it now, the fatherless generation, they call it. We have a fatherless generation on our hands right now. How many children do not even know their dads? And what's happened is simply this, is in this fatherless generation, the enemy's attacked and we have children now not growing up. Well, I want to remind every dad in the room that you represent Jesus Christ to your children. How you and I act is exactly how they're going to initially perceive God to be.
Amen.
If you're a loving, caring, good dad, that's how they're going to view God the Father. If you're an abusive dad, that's how they're going to see God the Father. If you're an absent dad, that's how they're going to see God the Father. It's very interesting because it always manifests in the adult life when you start teaching people how to pray. We have people in the church, they have no problem talking to daddy, no problem having faith, declaring those things which are not as though they already are, have no problem coming to the throne room of God, have no problem at all, man. They're so free. But if you look at their father, that's the way he was. But then you have people that won't even pray to God. They'll have no problem talking to Jesus, but they will not pray to God. It's very interesting. So we live, the enemy's worked very strong. Whenever you see your family attacked, immediately you know it's Lucifer. Satan has come, the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy your family. The second thing, he always comes to destroy your health. I want to remind you of your covenant right. Through the covenant of Jesus Christ, Jesus is the mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, that Jesus paid for certain things on the cross. Number one, he paid for all of your sins to be forgiven. Well, that's a good spot to say amen. That all your sins are forgiven. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The Bible says, after you're born again, and if you sin... How many of you have ever sinned since you've been born again? If not, you just did. All right, glory to God.
If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The covenant has paid for our sins to be washed away. That's awesome, isn't it? That's why the devil works so desperately to get you out of the family of God. Number two, part of the covenant is the body of Christ, which paid for your healing. By his stripes, you were healed. Jesus healed you over 2,000 years ago. Every sickness and disease, the Bible says very clearly, Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives every sin and heals every disease. Not some, but every disease. Not one disease belongs in our body. Not one sickness belongs in our body. Not Jesus even took care of the withered hand. God will heal your maiming. God will heal your wounding. God just so desperately loves to heal you. Where Satan, on the other hand, wants you to be sick. Why? Well, I've never seen somebody sick say, boy, I just love being sick. It is such a good sensation. Every sickness is a jail. There's not one sickness that's not a jail. Even the common cold. Snot running down your face. Your nose is sore. You know, what's that commercial? Pepto-Bismol. Does it? What is it? What is it? You remember it? I want to sing it. Yeah, plop, plop, fizz, but what is it like? Oh, yeah. Whoa, she's got it now. Come on now. So it's important to recognize the devil wants you sick. The third thing the devil does is he steals your wealth. He attacks your finances. Now, if you're a tither and a seeder, then let's be honest. The devil will definitely attack your wealth, but you have the... In Jesus' name, you foul devil! Stealing, killing, and destroying. The devil always tries to steal your wealth. Why? Because if he can steal your wealth, what happens? You go into stress, frustration, irritation. You get to the place where now you're living in lack, which is the opposite of what Jesus Christ paid for. 2 Corinthians makes that declaration. He became poor for us that we might become rich. And it's not talking about spiritually. If you look at the chapter, look at the verse, look at the Greek, it's talking about money. It's talking about things. Jesus became poor that we might become rich. Psalms 105, the children of Israel in the Passover, not only did the blood set them free from the death angel, not only did the body that they ate, there was not one feeble among the tribes, but also they left with all the wealth of Egypt. I want to remind you also, we pray this prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on. We're praying God's will on as it is in. Is there poverty in heaven? Is there sickness in heaven? Is there discouragement in heaven? Come on now, we can go through all the stuff we know is not in heaven. Then why are we allowing it to touch us on earth? So the devil will use those things in our lives against us to try to destroy us. Satan is not your friend. He is not a nice guy. He's only out to steal, kill, and destroy. If he attacks your family, get aggressive. Don't be passive. Don't whine. Don't complain. Get aggressive in the spirit. Bind that devil in Jesus' name. Rebuke him in Jesus' name. This is when you start to march, baby, because Jesus said, I read it in Luke 10, he's given you all authority over the power of the devil. Don't sit back and be passive. There's a time to be passive and a time to be aggressive. And in that aggression, you can bind that devil, take authority over it, and command it to leave. I'll say amen myself too. Thank you. If you're starting to get sick, look, it's not that sickness doesn't come, but don't let it stay. You might get healed, which would take a process, or you might get your miracle, which is instantaneous. However you get it, baby, it's still yours. That's the promise of the covenant of Christ. And whenever you see the devil start touching your money, get aggressive. If you're not a seed or a tither, well, you've caused your own problems. That's your situation. Hey, you know, you make your own pie. How many of you remember that example? I'll give you an example. If you make me a pie, If you make me a pie, I mean, she makes really good pie. If you make me a pie, oof, Jesus. If you make me a pie and you bring it to me and you use your best pie pan or pie plate, you bring it to me and you say, Pastor, I want to give you this pie plate. I want to give you this pie, but I just need the pie plate back. And if you give me the pie plate back, I'll make you another pie. So here I come. I eat that whole pie. It's good pie. And she says, can I have the plate back? And I said, I don't think so. Whose turn is it to make the pie?
Yours.
When you get your paycheck, who gave you the ability to work? Who gave you the wisdom to work? Who gave you the favor to work? So when you don't bring your tithe, whose turn is it to make the pie? So you can't complain to God if you're not a tither and you're not getting any pie. Wow, a good pie. I'm a pie guy. All right, here we go. Satan has titles that show his character. A title always shows a character. He is the God of this world. Not big G, little G. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them who which do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the devil is the God of this world. He's not the God of the physical world. He is the God of the world system. It's the world system. Number two, we know he's the prince and the power of the air, which means he rules in the air. Now, this is important because many people don't understand that Satan is very organized. He has a very, very, very organized demonic realm with hierarchy. Each demon has different jobs to do. Some are to deceive. We'll get into some other ones here in just a few minutes. But we need to recognize that he's the prince and the power of the air. He is literally commanding his angelic beings, the fallen angels, to work on his behalf, just as God, remember, he's a counterfeiter, just as God is releasing his angels to work on the saints, he's releasing his demons to work on people to make sure that they never confess Jesus, so they have to what? They have to pay their own price at Samples Barbecue. It's important. The Bible says that Satan has the right to kill anybody who's not a believer. I call all believers dog meat. Why is that? Because he can kill them anytime he wants. Why can he do that? Well, because he owns them. Listen, you're either owned by God, you're either his servant, or you're Satan's servant. Well, I'm nobody's servant. Well, you're very far deceived. Because there aren't that many masters, and you're definitely not strong enough to be one. You're either serving God, or you're serving Satan. Well, I have never worshipped around a pentagram. I have never sacrificed a child. I have never done any of those demonic, satanic rituals. It doesn't matter. The fact is if you're not serving Jesus, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, you are serving your father, the devil. It actually speaks it, says it right up loud. You're serving your father, the devil. You're either serving God the Father, the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords, or your father, the devil. Because he's your God, he has a right to kill you anytime he desires. That's why many people die in the world because he works to kill them. Remember the bishop? Bishop told his story about he had a heart attack and he actually died. And the Lord spoke to him, listen, your time's not done. And he came back to life. You know what? When you have a vision and a destiny, you can't die. I really believe that, and no questions asked. I came back from Indiana. I was supposed to be back last night. That didn't work. So we got on the airplane. Everything, it's a 767, man. That's a big airplane. We're in the back. I don't know how I always end up in the back. I'm in the back, and it is hot as Hades, man. You just feel sweat beating up on your head. The air conditioner wasn't working. So they asked the whole back part of the plane, which is well over 100 people. There's 9 per row, and I believe there's 14 or 15 rows. We all had to go out and go sit out back in the terminal while they fixed the air conditioning. Well, the other people sat there for another hour and a half. It wasn't the air conditioning. There was a problem with the airplane, and the engines would not have worked properly and could have stopped because they would have overheated in midair. Well, if that airplane didn't get off the ground for any other reason, I was on there.
Amen.
You see, when I'm on there, everybody's safe. Because my purpose isn't done. So we get to Detroit this morning and getting ready to load on the plane. It's delayed again. And they said, we're going to get you a new plane. I said, safe. The devil would want to kill. But if you're a son and daughter of God, he has no right to touch you. Don't you let him touch you. Don't let him get near you. He has no right in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Satan is our adversary. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Oh, the devil is so strong against me. Oh, the devil beat me up. Listen now, you got to hear this verse, right? He's your adversary who's already defeated. Here we go. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in faith. The verse before that says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. It's not that you're not going to get resistance, but when you resist the devil, he has no choice. He's a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, but he is a toothless lion. He has no abilities in your life or my life but what we grant him. He has no authority but what we give him. He has no power but what we give him. Jesus took away the keys of death and hell. He doesn't even have the power of death and hell over the saints. He can try to kill us, but he can't kill us if we stand fast. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he has to flee. It's exciting. You know, the devil scares a lot of people. But you know, he's a boogeyman with no teeth. How many of you remember when you were a kid, you didn't want to hang your feet off the bed? I know there's somebody under there. Yeah, I only watched one horror movie. I don't know how people watch horror movies. I just get it. I guess, you know, when you've seen a real demon, demonized person, those movies stop being funny. I mean, I watched this woman's, her face morph into like an animal. When you see that, it's just not working in the movies anymore for you. When you hear a petite woman start talking to you in a voice, then... What's that movie, the grunge music the Christians sing, just doesn't grunge me anymore, you know what I mean? Because I've heard that voice before. Yes?
That movie, The Exorcist, wasn't as far-fetched as we think, wasn't it?
It was not as far-fetched as we think. In fact, the movies that they're doing today, some of them are so real because they're actually modeling them after demon activity. Very interesting. Okay. All right, let's just finish this right here. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Revelation chapter 12, 10 and 11. The Bible says that he accused the brothers day and night, but we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So I want you to understand that the devil will accuse you before the Lord, but that's why your lifestyle must be correct. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Nobody's perfect. Amen? Except my mother. My mother's perfect. You got to say that. You got to say that. My mother's perfect. But nobody's perfect but my mother. But honestly, nobody's perfect, but that's what the blood of Jesus is for. But if you're living a lifestyle of sin, then the devil has something to accuse you of. Well, I've got a question for you. If you were arrested today, ready? If you were arrested today for being a Christian, would there be enough proof to send you to jail? Spirit. Let's move on. The reason gossip is so satanic is because it mocks and acts like Satan himself. Gossip, if the devil is the accuser of the brethren, then why are the brethren accusing the brethren? It means you're acting exactly like Satan. He loves doing that. Why does Satan love causing gossip and backbiting in church? Because he hates the family of God, and he knows that brings division and destruction. The devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says Satan is an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. No wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself as an angel of light. What does that mean? It means he doesn't run around with a little red outfit with a pitchfork and a pointed tail. He's sneaky. He's sly. You know, I've watched so many young men and young women surrender their walk with God because Lucifer has sent them a boy or a girl, and it took them out of their destiny. Honestly, I can't even count. No, I can't. I can't count. Just recently, there was a young lady. Man, she was just exploding in the spirit. She was just growing in Christ. And her old boyfriend came back and said, "Boy, I'd love to be with you again." So he says, "Well, I don't believe in church, so you're not going to be able to go to church anymore either." So she gave up coming to the house of God. She moved into his bedroom, slid between his sheets, and now she's traded the gospel of Christ for a man who tomorrow could walk away or die. Somebody's going to have to pay, by the way, when the bill comes. The devil comes as an angel of light. I've watched people literally trade Jesus for a dollar more an hour on a Sunday morning. If they work on a Sunday morning, make a dollar more an hour. I've watched them trade God for a dollar more an hour. Angel of light. Angel of light. Angel of light. Good reasons. Oh my goodness, Pastor, we can't come on Sunday mornings anymore because my child is like a star in baseball. Angel of light. Nothing evil about baseball, but you just taught your child how to trade Jesus for baseball. Millstone around your neck than to cause somebody else to stumble.
As a kid, I read it as, you know, people that would intentionally do these things or, you know, people that actually, you know, come after people and want them to not hear the word. But the other day when I read it, I more so looked at it as, even as believers, the things you do and the choices you make and the lifestyle you live, you can be in that same boat.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I've watched more parents damn their children. I preached against it, man. I've had people leave this church because I preach against it. You know, the issue is that your kid's never probably going to be in professional sports. Realistically. And so because your kid's probably never ever going to be in professional sports, pulling them out of God's house so they can play sports, now you've taught them that God comes third or fourth to whatever else that comes to their fancy on Sunday mornings, because they're now 18, 25, 35, 45 years old, and they can't even play the bar league anymore because they're so bad. You know, we got to be careful. The devil's a sneaky beast. Amen? The devil has an organized demonic army. Ephesians chapter 6, 11 through 13. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. The demonic realm is so organized, he has it ranked. Principalities, the Greek word means chiefs. There are chief demons. that sit there and they bark out orders that they have gotten from Lucifer. There are magistrates. We know that those are regional magistrates. We know that there are world rulers. There are demons so big they literally will handle continents. And there are spiritual wickedness, which means spiritual plots. The enemy gets assignments for you. He'll get an assignment for you. If he sees you getting too passionate for Jesus, he's going to release one of his little demon spirits, his little imps, to get an assignment to pull you away from God. You must be wiser than the devil. The Bible says don't be ignorant of the devil's devices or the devil's plots and plans. We've got to be wise. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy your wealth. He wants to destroy your destiny. He wants to destroy your very purpose for breath of why you're on this planet as a believer. He wants to make sure you never see God face to face except for the last, the white throne judgment, where your name will not be written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you'll be cast into the lake of fire, where you'll be ever, forever separated from God. You see, he so desperately hates you. And we don't hate him enough. A lot of people like him. Just pass me a beer. Just give me a beer. What's one beer? Oh, I just want to tell you something. When you go to a bar, it's called Bar and Spirits. You ever wonder what that's all about? Because when you get into the works of the flesh found in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, there's a word for the sin of the flesh called witchcraft. Do you know what that word is in the Greek? Pharmacia. Means drugs. Anything that alters your mind. I can't tell you how many families I've seen literally destroyed by liquid. All of a sudden, the spirit of alcoholism, spirit of addiction, gets in their life. Alcohol. Listen, we live in America. I'm just going to tell you what I think. We live in, I'll end with it too. We live in America. There is no reason for you to put a drop of alcohol on your lips. No reason at all. You're giving the devil an opportunity in your life. The devil will destroy you with booze. Well, I just like a glass of wine. Why do you want a glass of wine? Well, I like the taste. Well, then you know something. You didn't get that. You don't like the taste of beer. You remember the very first time you had a beer? You didn't go, wow, that's so good. You drank because your friend convinced you to drink it. And, man, you put on a face thinking you were so cool. But we all know beer is nasty. And you got to acquire a taste for beer. Yeah. And then you got to acquire a taste for wine. The first time you have a dry wine, wisdom says, projectile vomit. But you want to be cool. Really? So drink grape juice. It has the same contents. See, the issue is, this is what I hear most of the time about people that drink. Ready? Well, I just want to fit in. Well, you know, I just simply want to relax. If you need alcohol to relax, you've walked away from the Holy Spirit, who's the Prince of Peace. And let me tell you something very clear. If you actually think that you're going to sit at a bar stool and tell your buddy about Jesus, they're looking at you and saying, you are a hypocrite. Because they know that you shouldn't be drinking alcohol either. Yeah, now we got a bunch of preachers drinking alcohol. Bunch of preachers smoking some stogies. Listen now, we're in a very serious moment. We got to make some decisions. Don't give the devil anything he can accuse you of. Amen? Okay. I'll end there. We still have a long way to go. We'll get into demons next week. When you start hearing about demons, I'll give you some occult stuff too. Man, it's really cool when you start getting into the occult. We'll cover some of the occult stuff, the different things that people are playing with today. One of my favorites to talk about, of course, is Reiki. Many of you go get back rubs and you get massages, and you've never asked them if they're Reiki masters. Most of them, if they go to either Ithaca or they go up to, what's the other one? Up on the lake. No, where they learn masseuse, whatever. They're actually trained in classes. In fact, they have to take the class how to be a Reiki master. Yep. It's satanic energy being released. It's a counterfeit of Christ laying on of hands. So we'll explain all of that next week. Some of you have been playing with, you've gone to the local preacher who calls himself I behave myself. He's just full of the devil. You know, you're going, you're getting your palms read, you're going, you go to seances, you're going to get your psychic. All that's satanic, very satanic, and I'll explain it to you next week. And if you've been doing those things, then you're going to need to recant next week. You need to ask Christ to forgive you, and you need to break the power verbally over your life of the curses and the things that were spoken over your life. Because when you allowed the psychic to speak into your life, you actually allowed them to release demons to make sure that what they spoke will come true. So you have spirits running around with you. All right. Yes. Probably not. What does it say?
Under F, the first one.
Under F, Satan is not up. Oh,
he can do?
No. Yeah, he can do supernatural.
Okay. Yep. Sure.
Satan can do supernatural. Satan is supernatural. He can do supernatural things. And we see that when he possesses the Antichrist, he's going to do many signs and wonders. Okay. Great question. All right. Anybody else? That's a lot of information. I'm so sorry. Sometimes they give too much. This could be an easy monther. Huh? We can go another. See, these guys just came from another class. They're ready to go one more hour. Jesus. All right, let's all stand to our feet. Thank you all for watching on live stream. I want to remind you, be a giver. Make sure you hit the button, give, right next to you. You receive, so make sure you give. Father, we just speak blessing over this class. And Lord, thank you that we are not serving a weak God. Thank you, Father, that you are not some weak, wimpish God that seems to always get his butt whooped. We thank you, Father, that you are always the conqueror, that you are always the king, that you are always the owner, you are always the Lord, and there is no competition, there is no competitor, there is no power that's even close to yours. You are truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We honor you, Almighty King, omnipotent, all authority, magistrate. Lord, we just declare your greatness. And Father, we thank you that we serve you. And Lord, because we are your sons and your daughters, you've given us all authority over the power of the devil. He's whooped. So God, I pray that we'll learn how to stand fast. When the works of the enemy come against us, we don't have to cower, but we stand firm, stand fast, pick up the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and whoop his butt. And Lord, we thank you for victory in Jesus' name. For we've been made more than conquerors in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Lord, bless the offering. Amen.